The Lord be with you.
And with
your A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my word." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Today's feast is very different in the midst of our calendar. It is the feast of Christ the King, and it comes on the last Sunday of the church calendar year. It's a way of telling us that all things come to their conclusion and are laid at the feet of Christ the King. Now, you knew that there was something special when I began to proclaim this gospel, not from St. Mark, to whom we've been listening this year, but from St. John, and a gospel from Holy Week, from the trials of Jesus, and particularly his trial before Pilate. It is in that trial that Christ is questioned as to his kingship. And it's important for us today to ponder what that kingship means. We live in an age in which kings and queens are often thought of as things of the past, with little relationship to the present. I'm sure you were somewhat surprised, at least, to see the articles in the paper recently that one of the first acts of the new government was to remove a portrait of the Queen from its public place in Governor's House. Now, that surprises me, and I'm American, so I'm sure it also surprised you. A few years ago, when I was visiting a classroom in a school in the city, I was talking about Christ the King, and so I asked the class, "What is a king?" And one of the boys, thinking very carefully, raised his hand, and wanting to speak in complete sentences, he answered, "A king is a ruler whom you don't vote for. He's someone you have to listen to, but you don't get to choose him." And I thought, well, partial though it may be, that's a very good definition. A king is not the result of a democracy. A king claims a special right to rule, usually a right from on high. Christ is the only king of whom that can be said in absolute truth. He is king not so much by his nature, but by his personhood. We might say that Jesus became the king of the human race by his cross, by dying for us, by saving us from sin and death, and by rising on the third day. And that would be true, and I'd be very happy if Catholics gave me that as an answer. But there's another dimension to the kingship of Jesus that perhaps you haven't thought about, that's also very important, and it shows why he is our king uniquely. Uniquely. In the prologue to the Gospel of St. John, we hear the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, And nothing that was made but through him. Now, before Jesus coming as man, we do not know him by this name. We refer to him instead as the second person of the Trinity, or the eternal Son of God, or the Word with a capital W. But we don't call him by the human name Jesus until he takes flesh of the Virgin Mary. But that verse from St. John's prologue and another passage from St. Paul, in which St. Paul speaks of Jesus as being the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, and the pattern of our human nature, that says something else to us. When God created the first man and woman, when God created human nature, he already knew that his eternal Son would become flesh, would become man. And so God created human nature as the nature most suitable to be united to his Son. So we were created in view of the humanity of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus would not become man or be born of Mary for millions of years after the creation. Stop to think about what that means, what it signifies. Jesus did not choose to become an angel. He chose to become man, to add human nature to his divine personhood. So human nature was created as being most suitable, most worthy to receive the Son of God made man. Now, that means that by our very humanity, every man and woman has a relationship with Jesus Christ. We share that same human nature. And whether or not we are believers in him, he has a relationship to us and over us, because we're created in his image, if you will, in his likeness. So Christ's word of truth is meant to go out to all the nations. His truth, his freedom, his goodness is what every human person aspires to, even without knowing his name. He has the absolute and universal primacy, first place, in the human race. And that helps us to look upon his kingship more personally and more sincerely. What we want in life is to be found only in him and through him. He is the perfect human being. Now, when we come to church on a Sunday, our first object is to worship, to praise him, to give him glory. At the same time that we are giving him glory and honor and praise, we have to recognize, though, that in himself he is glorious. In himself, he is majestic. In himself, he is all perfect and wondrous. We don't give him those things. They're his. They are his by nature. But when we come into his presence, when we're in contact with him, even if we're not feeling anything in an emotional way, we are changed by him. We're affected by him. we can be transformed by him. Now, that transformation takes place to the extent that you and I open ourselves to him and use our free will to allow him to change us. But simply by being here, by willing to be here, we've already begun that process. His majestic glory changes us. The mystery of who he is changes us. So when we raise our voices in prayer, in praise, in song, in worship, in the creed of the Mass, or in any of the responses, we're opening ourselves up to his work of renewing all things in Christ, restoring all things through him and by him to the beauty and the simplicity and the truthfulness that they were meant to have from the beginning. That's why we prayed in the opening prayer, Almighty ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son. Now those words should be special to us particularly because they are the motto of St. Pius X, the motto that he took when he became Pope. And because of that, when this church was built in 1984, those words were sculpted on the cornerstone that you find at the north entrance of the church. They're there to remind us that he is the one who sets us free from slavery, who fills us with truth, endows us with beauty, enriches us in unity, and grants us the marvelous mercy of forgiveness and new life. He is the one who forgives our sins. He is the one who calls us together. He is the one who opens paradise to us. And he does these deeds by his very power as God made man. He does these deeds out of love, but also because they are fitting to his glory. He is not simply friend and brother, but also judge of the living and the dead and king of all mankind. So as the church concludes 1 year of grace and stands on the threshold of a new year of grace, we do so around Christ our King. And each of us is meant then, with the grace of this day, to choose him more simply and sincerely, more willingly and profoundly, as our personal King and leader and ideal. The one in whom we believe more than any other politician or ideology, the one whom we acclaim as greater than any celebrity or movie star, the one whom we want to emulate and imitate more than any sports figure or anyone else in our world. He is the one who transcends all things. He is the one who leads us to heaven. He is the one who loves and never disappoints. That is the King whom we honor this day. That is the King to whom we give our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.